once again to all of Turdville. This is Turd Ferguson. It's another Thursday, which means it is time for another exciting and thrilling Access to Access webinar. Today, I got to tell you, I'm really excited to get this one on tape for everybody, because I think this is a great little hybrid webinar, if you will. There's obviously nonstop interest in the metals here in Turdville, but there is a growing interest in Bitcoin and alternative currency in Turdville as well. And I found out about this company a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, this is just perfect. The guy we have with us today is Stephen McCaskill. And Stephen is the CEO, owner, and founder of a online bullion store called Amagi Metals. And what's unique about Amagi Metals is they are one of the largest Bitcoin retailers in the world. This is a precious metal store online that accepts Bitcoin as payment. I mean, can you beat that? So anyway, Stephen, thank you very much for taking some time to step into Turdville. How are you today?
Wonderful, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You do not sound like you are battling a big cold like old Turd. You sound like you are in good physical shape this morning.
I am, yes.
And I want to apologize to everybody listening. If you hear me sneezing or any of that kind of stuff in the background, I'm going to do everything I can to keep that from happening. Stephen, all right. So tell me, let's start a little bit with tell us about yourself and tell us about Amagi Metals, how long they've been in existence, where you're located, all that kind of stuff. Anything. Give us a commercial for Amagi.
Yeah, we are located in Denver, Colorado. The business, Amagi Metals, has been around since 2008. I have owned it since 2010. I purchased it from a friend who was using the business as more of a hobby to make money and pay for college. And I saw huge potential. I have a background in promoting financial responsibility and sound money. And so it was a match made in heaven. So when I purchased the business, I saw the potential and have been expanding it ever since. And in 2012, we started accepting Bitcoin, and we're very pleased with the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency community and hope to serve them for many more years to come.
I suspect you will as well. They're definitely here to stay.
Yes.
I think Amagi is interesting. I was joking with Stephen earlier. I said, is it Amagi or is it Amagi? And it made me think of Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid, because he'd always get out of shape when people would call him Mr. Miyagi, and he'd say, no, Miyagi. We don't know if it's Amagi or Amagi, right? What is the genesis? Where'd that name come from?
Yeah, it's actually a symbol, and it's the name of a symbol that is over 4,000 years old. It comes from the very first human civilization, and it's the first human representation of liberty. And I chose that word because as a big advocate of individual liberty, I think that it's inherent in human nature.
Eddie, you are talking our language here in Turdville. I can tell you that. I think that's fantastic, and I'm excited to get to know you guys even better. In fact, I'm going to be adding Amagi Metals to the precious metals store here in Turdville as an affiliate. So it's a place where everybody that visits TFMR can go to and click. There's only a couple of precious metal stores on there, and we're going to add Amagi just because, again, I can't imagine that the world of we'll call it cryptocurrencies or whatever, isn't going to continue to grow and expand. Let's start first with the metals in general. I know that I had someone on from Miles Franklin a few days back. Andy, I don't know if you know Andy Hoffman or not. He kind of lives out in your neck of the woods too, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Andy was talking about how 2013 was really a slow year for retail demand. I would imagine, have you seen that as well at Amagi? And have you noticed any change of demand trends in the last few weeks or months?
Yes and no. So okay. Talking with our vendors, they have said in the last quarter, the last half of 2013, sales were really hurting. In the industry as a whole, and specifically retailers, online retailers, and it may be a mixture of lower sales, but there are also a lot of precious metals companies that have been popping up over the last year or two that are competing. So it's just so, a lot more competition. But as for our company, we've been growing every single month. I think for the last 3 or 4 months, we've been doubling sales every month. So we've been doing exceptionally well. But from what I understand, the industry isn't doing as well.
Well, and that's interesting that I hadn't thought of it from a competition standpoint too, that, the amount of volume could stay the same, but you've spread it out amongst more points of sale, then, everybody's sales are going to be down. What do you make, Stephen, of the what's going on with the U.S. Mint? They're claiming that they have to hold back production because one of the reasons is they can't get enough blanks. It seems like they're coming up with all sorts of reasons to not show or to limit the amount of sales. I mean, do you have any experience with that? I mean, do you have any? Can you comment on that at all?
And just to briefly mention what you were talking about before, last year they had an all-time high in sales of American Silver Eagles. Something like 42.67 million Eagles were sold last year, which is more than any other year. So people are still buying the precious metals, the gold and silver. But as for the shortages, and we were actually affected a little bit because one of the producers of the blanks is Sunshine Mint. And for about 2 months, we couldn't sell their products because they shut down selling all their products so that they could just make blanks for the U.S. Mint. And from what I understand, they also recently opened a new mint. But I think a lot of it started back in April. There's a big discrepancy between paper gold and silver and physical gold and silver. And the price of gold and silver, I think, is mostly dictated by the paper. And when the paper price dropped gold and silver down a lot, and of course, a lot of the physical gold and silver are in 100-ounce bars or 1,000-ounce bars. The stuff that people want to buy to preserve their wealth, the coins, the 100-ounce silver bars, became very difficult to find. And everyone went out to rush and buy the physical stuff when the prices dropped. And the physical stuff was running out. A lot of mints shut down for a time, or the extended delays upward of 6 to 8 weeks. And so there's a huge discrepancy between the physical and the paper. And if the paper prices continue to drop, the physical prices, we're going to see more shortages. We're going to see people holding on to, like COMEX, they said last month, something like for every physical ounce of gold, there were 92 pieces of paper that were claims on that physical. So, and that's a big issue. And so, it's creating a lot of shortages when it comes to physical, in terms of being able to get it, getting it to the customers, and making everyone happy.
I want to transition to Bitcoin then, and again, encourage anybody listening, if you have some questions about, well, physical metal, or if you have some Bitcoin questions, if you just want to know more about it, I'd consider Stephen an expert in this stuff. So please start putting your questions into the dialogue box. But let's, Stephen, on Bitcoin and the other alternative currencies like that, you've been a proponent for quite some time. And I know a lot of folks, and I even feel this way too. I still just continue to stack gold and silver. I like stuff that I can hold in my own two hands and bury at the bottom of a lake if necessary. And though there are safeguards in place, can you talk a little bit about for cryptocurrencies? Can you talk a little bit about Bitcoin and your comfort level with it and in holding it and using it as an alternative?
Yes, so I'm not necessarily an advocate of Bitcoin as much as I am an advocate of cryptocurrency.
Right,
Bitcoin
okay.
is kind of like the figurehead or the leader in cryptocurrency,
Yeah.
much like MySpace was the leader in social media. I'm not saying that Bitcoin is like MySpace and will be
I
replaced
understand.
by Facebook, but it's possible.
Well, that's,
So
or I'll just interrupt for you for a second and say it's kind of like these Kleenex that I'm using today.
yes.
Kleenex has been kind of is a new ubiquitous term for any type of tissue into which I'll blow my nose.
Exactly,
So there you go.
exactly.
So that's what
So,
we'll just
yeah.
call Bitcoin is just kind of this catch-all for all different cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that it is revolutionary and it's going to change the world we live in. And I think that is going to happen very quickly. And a good way of looking at it is looking at major technological adoptions. And we can look back at the last 100 or 150 years. We have the telephone, and then we have radio, and then television, and then internet, and now Bitcoin. And each one of these technological innovations were had a quicker adoption rate than the one before. Each one was revolutionary, connected the world, made us the world a better place. The only tricky thing is, of course, there are booms and busts, and like the internet, we saw a dot-com bubble. There will most likely be a cryptocurrency bubble. Maybe not necessarily Bitcoin, but cryptocurrency in general.
I wonder if it isn't. I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, part of that isn't a temporary dilution in a sense, in that Bitcoin is, I don't even know what it is at this point, $800, $900.
It is just under $800.
Okay. With and they are now something like 73 or 75. I don't want to call them competing cryptocurrencies, but there are so many others being offered. I wonder if there isn't just a certain little bit of temporary dilution in the demand for a Bitcoin specifically, you know, and that we now just need to grow that pie of awareness of cryptocurrency again to kind of surge those values higher again for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say for sure if Bitcoin is going to crash a lot more. I wouldn't be surprised if it does. But each time that happens, it makes me a little bit happier because it becomes more widely adopted, more people hear about it, and so more people start accepting it and using it.
Yeah, and I think what, and just like gold and silver, what I think people need to be conscious of is, you know, as they're holding dollars and keeping their investments in dollars while the dollars are being so rapidly devalued, you know, and we know how that's been going on now for over 100 years, you want to hold savings and protect your hard work and your accumulated wealth and things that aren't being devalued, that are actually going up in value. And that's the obvious rationale behind diversifying into precious metal and other hard assets, but also into a cryptocurrency as well, is that you'd like to think over time that, you know, that they're all going to keep going up in value, though obviously, as you mentioned, there's going to be spikes and dips along the way.
Yes.
And
Yes,
so, and then
exactly.
at Amagi, you would just enter your Bitcoin at checkout in exchange for physical metal, correct?
Correct.
Sounds pretty easy to me. It sounds like.
Oh yeah, it's a pretty simple checkout process. May even be more simple than credit cards because if you have Bitcoins on your phone or something, you can just scan the QR code. The payment gets sent instantly. You don't have to worry about your credit card information being stolen. There's a lot less risk of fraud and all that
Yeah.
bad stuff.
How do you and how do you personally feel, or can you speak to some of the, I guess we just call it security concerns? You know, I don't want to compare. I mean, this is going to be a lengthy question, so bear with me.
No
But
problem.
you know, there's been this discussion, and it comes up every now and then still in the mainstream media about eliminating cash. And they say, ah, oh, what do we even need cash for? Everybody should just, you know, keep everything digitized from your bank accounts to everything. What, why do we even fiddle with cash and coins and things like that? And my concern of that is, again, from a liberty standpoint, and that what if everything is digitized, in a series of zeros and ones, what is to stop a tyrannical government from just simple confiscation of your assets? Now, I don't want to make that extend that wholly into Bitcoin, but I think that is kind of the, in a sense, a concern that some people have, is the storage of it in electronic form only can lead or leaves you open to not necessarily confiscation, but loss. I mean, how do you, as someone that is a proponent of cryptocurrency, how do you address that personally? I mean, how do you feel personally about those?
So, myself, I don't like using credit cards. I like to use cash. And not only does it help prevent people from knowing where I am, it prevents people from being able to steal my identity and all that kind of stuff. So, it is a tricky question, just because when you look at Bitcoin, you have to look at several different things. For one, it's not many people realize this, but it's the largest computer network in the world.
Really?
Larger than any, yes, it's larger than any government computer network. It's larger than multiple government networks combined. So for somebody to basically take control of the entire Bitcoin currency, they would have to take control of 51% or more of it. And so no government would be able to do that just because they don't have enough computers or computing power to be able to do that. So then that would be on a macro scale, taking over the entire currency. And every time somebody joins the network, they do it voluntarily of their own volition, and they're securing the system and securing the network system. But on a personal level, there is a little bit of a security risk. So you're given a private key that you should not share with anyone, and that includes the government. As long as you don't share that with anyone, including the government, you would not be at risk of somebody coming along and trying to take your Bitcoin, especially the government. You can so it's very po it would be like somebody breaking into your house and stealing your stuff. That's what the government would essentially have to do. But you can if you can memorize the your private key and you don't want to share it with the feds, then you would be very safe in preventing them from taking or seizing your assets. So that's a benefit. Looking at your privacy, so they say that Bitcoin is pseudo anonymous, where it's not completely anonymous. Every transaction is recorded in the Bitcoin ledger. So anyone can come and look at all the transactions ever made since the very first Bitcoin was issued. The only thing is that you have to somehow tie that transaction to a specific person or organization. And that can be tricky, and there are definitely ways to make that anonymous to protect your privacy and your security. And there may be a new cryptocurrency that comes down the road that would protect your privacy even more. And that's why I'm not saying Bitcoin is the end all and be all, but it's one hell of a start.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got one last question for you. It's strangely, I must be asking all the right questions today, Stephen, because the group out there is silent and haven't added any. Maybe they're afraid that if they do, they're going to catch my cold. I'm not certain, but I'll ask you one more question. If we don't have any questions from the subscribers, and we'll begin to wrap up. But how would you decide as a business owner? And as a proponent of cryptocurrencies, currently, is Bitcoin the only, alternative, I guess, cryptocurrency that you take as payment?
As of right now, yes. And the part of the reasons for that is finding a company to help us process the transactions. Not to mention, there are a lot of banks that are very anti-cryptocurrency. We've actually had a bank account shut down because we were accepting Bitcoin.
Fastest.
So, so our next move is to accept a second
Yeah.
cryptocurrency. People, I'm not going to say which one, but I'm sure people in the cryptocurrency world can guess what it is. But it will be about 3 to 4 months before we begin accepting it. And I think it will be a good next step to working with more cryptocurrencies.
How will, and I guess that was then my question. How do you just, I mean, do you, will you monitor, I mean, as a CEO of a company that accepts that type of currency, do you monitor that? Do you have a team that monitors that and try to pick, okay, this one now is so popular that we've got to add this to our lineup of potential options? I mean, how do you judge that yourself?
Yeah, I've been working with cryptocurrency for more than a year now. So I've been keeping up to date every day of what's going on and which currencies are viable, and so I've been keeping an eye on it myself, more than outsourcing it to anyone else. But and then also I have some good friends who are extremely knowledgeable and are basically making the innovations in the crypto world. So it's really nice to have those ties with these
Yeah.
people who are able to give us basically the inside scoop about the various cryptocurrencies and what's going on.
I would imagine that's a very good point. I have gotten, excuse me, some of these folks, we've got a couple folks chiming in.
Great.
Somebody asked me a question from a guy by goes by the name of Keg. My actual name isn't really Turd, it's Craig. And so I've had nieces and nephews through the years that can't spit out an R. They call me Keg, Uncle Keg. But this is somebody else who just goes by Keg. Maybe he's just a beer drinker. And this is a question I think you've probably gotten before. And you know, a lot of folks are concerned that in a global or even just US based what we want to call it, martial law type, you know, serious breakdown, whether it's based off of, you know, of any kind of unforeseen events. If the internet crashes, if the internet is taken down, I'm not sure if that's even possible, but if it were to be done, what happens to your Bitcoin? I mean, do you have an opinion on that?
Yes and no. So,
Okay.
I think one of the next revolutionary technologies is decentralizing the internet. And I can't take any claim for thinking that, but
Yeah.
that's what has been heavily suggested, and it makes sense to me. And
Yeah.
from my understanding, it would be virtually impossible to shut down the internet, even if with some catastrophic event, it, somewhere in the world there would be Bitcoin. And you would have to shut down all the electricity around the world and
Yeah.
all the internet, and that I think at this point is would never happen.
I just
But
don't. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
yeah. So if you look at some catastrophic event, like that, where all the internet and all the electricity goes down, I think you're going to have a lot more to worry about than your bitcoins. Or, I mean, even if you accumulated a lot of gold and silver, you're going to have a lot more to worry about
Yeah.
than the gold and silver that you have. So, but in the event that the electricity goes down in the United States or something like that, I mean, if you don't have a generator or whatever, your bitcoins are still valuable. They're still there. They're still available, just not when the electricity is down in, your house or
Yeah.
whatnot. But
Yeah.
if you're able, if there's electricity in Canada and the internet's still there, then you can go there and get your bitcoins, no problem.
I think that's a very that's it, that's a very valid point. Absolutely. I mean, it would take a global I guess a bunch of nasty governments all working together in concert to try to somehow. And again, that's
Yeah, and
difficult
that's
to
almost
imagine.
impossible. I mean,
Yeah.
one government can't even organize anything, so
Yeah.
how is more than one going to?
All right. Next, I'm going to take you back to basics real quick. This is from someone named Ricardo. So he asks us this as kind of a basic question. So I'm just going to phrase it to you and just see what you have to say. Can you briefly describe the big picture of cryptocurrencies and how they work for just someone that wants to get involved for the first time?
The big picture. So, in terms of its revolutionary technology, what it does is it decentralizes the ledger for somebody to claim property. And so, what because previously you had to either use a bank or the government, and now it's put it into the hands of the people. So it's, and that is pretty revolutionary in that. People are can privatize and take control of their property a lot better than what we were able to. So that's part of what makes it revolutionary. Another benefit is that on a Sunday at 1 p.m., I can send any amount of money anywhere in the world. So I could send $1 million to someone in Russia instantly, if I wanted to, anonymously and for low or no transaction costs. So I could send $1 million to Russia for 50 cents. And so if you think about how many banking transactions happen on a daily basis, each wire costs $25 to $45. And so the banks are collecting billions of dollars in transaction fees. It takes sometimes a couple of days for a wire to reach an international bank or an international country, and then also it takes some time and it's not anonymous. By allowing someone to instantly send that money on any time of the day is great because it makes us all wealthier. And if you look at all those transaction fees that aren't going into the banks that you get to keep in your pocket, that companies get to keep in their pocket, they get to save money to hire new employees and innovate rather than going to these monopolies or cartelized banks around the world. So there's a lot of great features behind cryptocurrency. As to getting,
And to
what's
get
that?
started, what if someone says, I'd like to get involved in this stuff, what does an average person do, Stephen?
Yeah, so the best thing to do is do some reading first. I would definitely recommend looking at a few websites like there's Bitcoin.com, WeUseCoins.com. Those are two great websites that have information about what Bitcoins are, where you can buy them. And we actually have a knowledge center on Bitcoins as well. It's amagimetals.com/bitcoins and or Bitcoin. And the best thing to do is start reading a little bit about it, maybe 10 to 20 minutes a day. I wouldn't say just jump in and go and buy some immediately. First understand what exactly it is, what makes it revolutionary, why is it going to end the banking cartel and make us wealthier? And from there, I would recommend making a purchasing decision. Start looking at the price of Bitcoin once a week and other cryptocurrencies. I would say start with Bitcoin just because that's the most well known. It's the most liquid. You can buy plane tickets, you can buy gold, you can buy anything off Amazon with Bitcoin or Overstock.com. So from there, once you've bought one and you understand how it works, then I mean, I think you'll be hooked. And you'll start investing in it. You'll start understanding it, reading about it, and maybe even promoting it.
That's great advice. And I want to just take a one quick step back, because I think it's a great segue to the final question that comes from Reach West, who was helping us with our audio check earlier. You were talking about a great point, the bank fees, the wire transfer fees. I mean, we're cutting into bank business, central bank business, government business. Guess Reach's question ultimately is, what are your personal feelings about governments eventually getting involved and trying to take control of this, or banks themselves trying to issue their own? I mean, is there a How do you feel about that kind of that battle that's currently being waged? Go ahead.
I definitely think that there's a currency war that is, and not necessarily with cryptocurrency, but in general, when you look at gold and silver, when you look at other fiat currencies around the world, there's an unwritten or unspoken currency war that isn't talked about in the media. And I think going back to Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, that the cat's out of the bag. The government was too slow to react, and which is a wonderful thing in my
Yeah.
opinion. It's like if they had started regulating Bitcoin in 2009, then it would have been bad news. But even today, I think most government officials don't even have a clue what it is. They think there are countries around the world that are saying, "Oh, Bitcoin isn't a currency," so they're trying to tax it as an asset or a commodity. But it's just their lack of understanding, their bureaucracy, their just slow movement has been such a huge benefit to Bitcoin in its adoption. And I think it's too late. There's not much that they can do. Of course, they can add regulations to attempt to control it or prevent people from using it. But at this point, I think it'll be very difficult for them to, try and control it or take it into their own hands.
The horses have left the barn. The train has left the station. I can give you all those
Exactly.
cliches, right?
Exactly.
And you're being extremely generous with your time, Stephen. And all of Turdville appreciates it. But I'm gonna ask you one more question. I got one more that came in that I
Sure.
thought, oh yeah, you know what? We should have asked this. And so I am gonna, if you don't mind, I'll give you one more.
No problem.
Have you noticed? I mean, there's been some discussion about backing a cryptocurrency with some gold or hard assets. I mean, you sit in that unique position of running a precious metal store, but also being an advocate of cryptocurrencies. What do you think of that idea? Would that be, is that something we should expect at some point? Do you think, and I'll combine that with another question, do you think if the world returns to some type of gold-backed regular government issued currency, you know, if the Chinese propose a new reserve currency that's, you know, partially gold backed or something, do you think that would impact all cryptocurrency demand and usefulness? That's kind of a conglomeration of a couple of questions, but what do you think of that idea of a gold backed cryptocurrency?
Yeah, so I foresee that the beautiful thing about cryptocurrency is that it's going to force, maybe not the US dollar, but a currency, a fiat currency, to basically shape up and compete, just for a little bit, a little time, like 10 to, or 5 to 10 years. So cryptocurrency has a finite supply, which is a wonderful thing. And it's since it has subjective value and a value that people can place and buy and sell goods, it will force other currencies or other governments to prevent their currency from having a race down to zero, basically printing and printing and printing. So that's a good thing because I think it'll force other countries to stop the wars and the welfare and all that stuff. But I think that's for, it's only going to be a short time that they're going to have be able to do that. Then at some point, I think cryptocurrency will replace all fiat currency. Now going back to cryptocurrency backed by precious metals and whatnot, there are actually, I think there was a cryptocurrency that was recently started that was backed by copper, which I thought was an interesting concept. But I think that banks would be able to issue their own currencies like they used to in the past. And they may back them by diamonds. They may back them by gold, by silver. The wonderful thing is, I'm a big advocate of the free market, and I highly encourage businesses to move in that direction and see what works. It may or may not work. There may be no need for a currency to be backed by other commodities. There may need to have a currency that must be backed by other currencies or a mixture of both. Time will tell, and the free market will make that happen.
I think you're absolutely right. And as we said, the horses are out of the barn at this point. And this is something that's here to stay. Now, I don't want to leave anybody with the impression that that you can only use Bitcoin to purchase metal at among metals. You can use regular credit cards and cash and checks and all that kind of stuff too, right?
Yep, and even PayPal. And we are constantly looking at other ways to accept payments. So if you have any recommendations of how you want to pay for your gold and silver, give us an email or send us a or give us a call or send us an email.
I've got some old baseball cards. Do you think we know? Okay.
I don't know. There may be somebody here who would be interested in that.
Well, Stephen, again, and again, for everybody listening, check the link here in this podcast page to Amaggi Metals. I want you to go there and check it out. It's definitely a company you should keep in your rotation as you're out there buying physical gold and silver. Stephen, thank you so much for your time today. It's just been I think, a wonderfully enlightening conversation. I hope we can we'll do this again soon, sometime maybe later on this year, and get an update on what you're seeing out there.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And something else I wanted to mention
Sure.
on our website, amagimetals.com. This is actually in February. It's our 4 month or 4 year anniversary, and so we have all kinds of silver sales going on throughout the month.
Dynamite. Well, that's important to know too.
Yeah.
Again, just want everybody to go there and check it out. And we'll be sure to keep in touch. Stephen, thank you. I hope again you don't catch my cold through the wires. And I hope, God willing, if I ever get over this cold, I hope we can visit again sometime soon. All
Yes, I look forward to it.
right, thanks, Stephen. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you.